Good morning, Goshen County. This is Jeff Hawes with Eastern Wyoming College, and excited to be back for another week of Lancer Live. I have a special guest that will be sharing some futuristic things about Eastern Wyoming College. But before I do that, I just would like to revisit, for anybody who couldn't join us last week, I soloed the Lancer Live program and had an opportunity just to share with our listening audience the history of Eastern Wyoming College, all the way back to its inception. And, you know, I ended the program last week just sharing some thoughts about the future and things that we're working on as a college. And the future always has to be rooted in the past. And this college has a very rich history of outstanding performance and doing things that have benefited students and have benefited our local community. And we really want to get back to those roots at the highest level. And our faculty and staff are working on some very innovative things right now that we think will have some impact on that. So today's program will be, again, focusing a little bit on that future. And with us today, I have, again, a name that's well-known in this community. That is our Vice President of Student and Academic Services, John Hansen. And John, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. I think it's going to be another warm day out there. And so spring is kind of teasing us in the middle of winter.
So my daughter was telling me that everybody at school is saying that when the nice weather hits now,
then the bad weather is soon to follow.
Soon to follow, in late spring. So yeah. Is that the norm here?
I think it is. It's kind of a unique weather pattern. It seems like, man, you get used to it, and then all of a sudden, the Pineapple Express hits you. So,
well, last year felt very much like home, and my home started in Michigan. It's where our family farm is, and we're used to very cold temperatures and a lot of snow. So last year, I felt like I was in Michigan.
Yeah, I know. We recruited you in and said, welcome to the banana belt of Wyoming, and you'll play golf nearly year round.
And that was not true, John.
That was not the case, no.
Although this year, I did see someone out on the Cottonwood course yesterday. So, well, sorry for that, side trail. But let's get back to our conversation about the future at EWC. And John works very closely with Dr. Deborah Oshner, our Dean of Academics, and our faculty. And so, John, could you share with us some things that are coming into the future, especially maybe if you want to start with AR and VR?
Yeah.
And what is AR and VR?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It's one of those things that gets thrown around out there. What is the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality? And so augmented reality is actually, when you put on the new goggles or headsets, it's kind of digitizing the real world around you. Or you can see the real world and then a computer screen pops up in the middle of it. So if you're thinking about the future, and we think about disruptive technologies and where the future is heading, you could see that in an augmented reality world, you could put on these goggles and let's say you were evaluating patients in the medical field, it could pop up a host of diagnostics. And so this idea of a wearable computer. So that's kind of this augmented world. And so if you're looking out in your windshields right now as you're driving to work and you're thinking about things, it's kind of a heads-up display for your life. And so businesses, companies, people are thinking about, what does this future really look like? And so it's really quite fascinating.
So, John, as you think about what those opportunities are here, and we're not the first college to be exploring this here in Wyoming. There are some other colleges.
Right.
Last year, I think you and I had a conversation with our listening audience about in Gillette, they installed a virtual reality lab.
Right.
And they ran 4,000 minors in the northern part of our state through their facility in their first year, whether it was a 1-hour training or a 5-hour training, but whatever trainings are required for safety and certification of those employees, that is something Gillette is operating right out of their college for their private sector. And I know you're thinking about some of those things here about, again, what is our industry and local workforce needs might look like.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you're a business owner out there and you're thinking about I've heard about this AR, VR. We'd love to have those conversations. And so with our grant writer, we're actually writing grants as a college to implement this technology in our courses. And so nursing has already implemented augmented reality, virtual reality. Our criminal justice program has a very, it's a great way to train law enforcement. And then we're expanding into vet tech, veterinary fields. And so there's really a huge investment in what this looks like. And then, of course, just regular rank and file students. I love exposing students to technology, new technology, thinking about what's coming down the pipeline, because they're really the innovators. And we think about how are we going to change our business? How are we going to think about new things? And the second half of the augmented reality is virtual reality, which is 100% computer generated. So you're engaging into a world that doesn't exist. It only exists digitally. And so how do we meld those two things? And what does that mean for business? So, when I look at hazmat training, we look at any kind of training, even if it's like heavy equipment, anything that you can put a person in that usually costs a lot of time, money. We're seeing great strides with virtual reality.
So even potentially our CDL program.
100%.
So, I mean, this has a lot of implications. And so you were talking again specifically at the front end about something that's unique coming up. When you're starting to look at what it can do in this healthcare field or the veterinary technology program, what are some of the things specifically you're looking for there?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that we've done for years is just look at 3D models or mannequins, but it only tells like half the story. If you want to see how connected systems function, maybe it's the fascia system inside of the body, this virtual reality gives you an opportunity to actually, you know, practice being a surgeon or sew things up or, you know, trace the heartbeat and the pulse. And so it really is this kind of immersive world where you get to experience it. And we know probably since the annals of time that if you truly want to learn something, you teach it. That hands-on experiential learning is just what gives double-digit growth. And so the same thing in vet tech and looking at animal science, thinking about animal systems, thinking about, you know, obviously in the ag sector, we think about reproduction and we think about production and all of those things. The AR and VR really gives us an opportunity to explore and expand. And you know, one of the other technologies that we're looking at as a college that we're beginning to implement is, of course, artificial technology, AI, is a huge buzzword. And for us as a college, how we're looking at implementing that is in our new client relationship management software. And when you're thinking about all of the opportunities about going to college, what should I be? Providing people with relevant information is critical. And that's really what we see in the AI is how do we look at students? How do we look at people that are thinking about, I want to go back to college and maybe pursue a degree or training? It's delivering relevant information to people. And so that's at the cornerstone of our new client relationship management. So I have a couple questions for you, Dr. Haas. AI is the fastest growing technology in the history of the world. And so here's just a couple questions for you. So how long do you think it took Apple computers to generate 100 million users?
100 million users.
Yeah, so we think about in the United States, there's...
Are we talking Apple iPhones?
Everything.
To get to 100 million users with Apple.
And you got to think back to the Apple II...
Or the Mac
schools,
and, Macs, you know, yeah. Macintosh was
right.
Really one of their initial products that came out in the 80s.
Right.
So I would say a decade to get to the first.
That's pretty darn close. 14 years.
14 years.
And coming on the heels of them was Microsoft, which took 10 years. Now, as we're looking at how technology has changed, and of course, Microsoft held the market share for a decade. How long do you think it took Google to get to 100 million users?
You know, in light of what we just discussed, knowing that they came out much later in the market, I'll say 2 years.
So actually 1 year.
1 year.
Which is pretty amazing to create a search engine and just be better at doing results, better at doing work. Now, the question becomes OpenAI. How long did it take ChatGPT, this artificial intelligence company, to get to 100 million users?
Okay, I'm going to say 1 month.
No, that's super close. It's 2 months. But, you know, the amazing thing was, is this was a very, very small company. It didn't have the backing of Apple, Microsoft, or anything. It was just kind of spread on the internet, and people started, hey, what is this thing? How does it work? And to have that kind of growth, it is unreal. And so new laptops are coming with AI embedded in them. I mean, all kinds of technology. And so that's one of the things as a college is we want to ensure that we're at the forefront of. If you think back to even Google, every search engine operates upon what we call Boolean logic, which is really just a Venn diagram. I want to look for this thing in relation to that thing. AI replaces all of that. It really looks at the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why, and even the how. But most traditional search engines are just what. What am I looking for? So as we think about this dynamic world and how that relates to us as a college, is that is what we're interested in, is looking at what students' needs are, what families' needs are, what do they want to become, how do we ensure that we're having relevant curriculum, delivering it. And so at the cornerstone of that will be some AI software that helps us think about relationships and people and even business needs. So it's exciting.
Well, that is interesting because, you know, every community college can be very unique based on the local community that it's in. And there are things that are occurring in our college that are not occurring in the other seven community colleges in the state of Wyoming. And I will give you an example. Cosmetology and veterinary technology are two of those programs.
Right.
Where nursing is a universal thread between all the colleges.
It is.
You actually probably CDL programming, when it's all said and done, will probably be at every community college in Wyoming. It's well on its way already. Transfer programming has already been there. So a student who's potentially investigating EWC, wanting to know the types of experiences, when you talk about AI, it's, you know, and of course, some people get nervous about these topics.
It is, because it's such a large term.
Well, could I add a thought to it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because as I think about the piece and the use, and we've been having this conversation, and you've been updating me on some of the things that these tools can do, what it is, you know, people worry about the privacy and all those things.
Right.
Where these tools are being utilized by, like, a college is when a student's exploring what does EWC have to offer, and they're going through our application process, what it will do is it will track and record and pull all that relevant information.
Agreed.
That the student can have questions answered, things that they may not even sure that they think is a question yet. For example, how can I get access to scholarships? Now, what happens if one of our staff, you know, it could be me.
Right.
The student asked me, and if I don't bring forth that, hey, there's a potential of a scholarship through our foundation.
100%.
What this will do is start linking those students' interest to the things that we have to offer, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Without some even human interaction, it's just automatically being done, answering someone's question that says, I'm interested in learning more about Eastern Wyoming College.
Yeah, you know, a great example is, if you are to go to General College and you go, what scholarships are out there? You know, I have we both have daughters that are sophomores in high school, and they're going to be looking at scholarships soon. You know, what scholarships are out there? Kind of that assistive AI technology will look at, well, what is their GPA? Are they first generation? Are they interested in this field? And so it can bring relevant information. And so that's what we're excited about is how do we find those unique places in the market and within the college and deliver that information. So it really is just kind of a fascinating time to be alive and awake and on the cutting edge here.
So to wrap up this piece, the future, and of course, we are firm believers here that in-person instruction is the cornerstone of what we do, correct?
Agreed, 100%.
But that doesn't stop us from using an online resource called Canvas so that we can upload PowerPoint presentations that even that student in an in-person class can walk out with that course content and study it from home. And that's what this augmented reality, virtual reality, and in this case, potentially artificial intelligence, those are just three more additional tools that now can be used by an instructor and who, again, in most cases are delivering a lot of in-person instruction, but that we're going to continue instruction even after that classroom's over. Is that what you kind of picture?
Yeah, I think that when you look at learning theory, and people always have a horror story, whether it was art class, like I wasn't a great artist, math class, you know, whatever the stumbling block is that these technologies allow for more of a universal design. And so you may think like, I don't learn the best in this method. Well, it allows for multiple methods, multiple channels of delivery. And so that's what's really exciting about it, is that kind of personalization of education. And there are so many tools out there. So if people are thinking about, I don't know if I would fit in a college class. What I can tell you is there's so many tools now that really, run along parallel who you are as a student, what you're interested in, that really provide some great assistance. So yes, I think the education model is completely being disrupted by technology in a good way.
Well, then that's a great place to end those thoughts. And let's go to some other updates from Dr. Howard and Mr. Matt Scott, who teach in our ag and our and well, I'll let you talk about those programs. But there are some opportunities that are available not only now, but will probably be in the summer and in this fall, fall 2024, that people could start exploring. Could you talk about those opportunities?
Yeah, so through our Wyoming Innovation Partnership Grant, Matt Scott is offering classes that are targeted towards high school students, because as a college, we're really interested in how do we ensure that high school students have an opportunity to earn a credential or create a skill, enter the workforce, some sort of skill or knowledge that's with them. And so the first offering there is a drone pilot's license course. And I'll actually let you talk more about it. Dr. Haas has a background in some of this precision ag technology. But it really prepares the students to take a pilot's license exam. So you probably could hit the high points of what's...
Well, actually, if I will do that real quick. So, of course, when we start talking technology, nothing... This is just like an in-person class in agriculture. Nothing will replace the traditional knowledge that someone who enters the ag industry needs to understand. For example, I mean, if someone has a goal to go work for, say, Simplot or the Nutrients of the world, that is one of our input suppliers for the ag industry, we still need to know the basics of agronomy. We still need to be able to identify crops, identify weeds, identify chemical control strategies. But then there's also maybe some innovative things we have to understand. We're going to have to understand, how nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, these nutrients are applied. So there are basic core things that have always been taught in agriculture that do not go away. But there are technologies that help to manage and maybe improve efficiencies, especially in this concept with drones. And I would say our employers in general out there, they're not hiring someone to fly drones and that's their full-time job. But we know drone technology is something that is going to be embedded. There will be tractors that are going to drive with using GPS, global positioning, in a field. It's already occurring in farms all throughout the United States. There is a potential that drones are capturing footage and images to make better decisions about spraying and application. Those things are being studied right now. And so where we picture that drone technology piece is it's something about that future. And it'll probably be 5% of someone's job in agriculture going forward that having that drone license and the ability to legally fly a drone is there. But it's even greater than just ag. I mean, there are many industries that are, for example, power line companies are using drones to evaluate power lines. Railroads are using drones to evaluate rails by flying drones over, again, evaluating to make sure conditions are proper. They use drones in surveying. They use drones for evaluating rooftops, for companies that handle insurance claims. The list goes on and on. So one of the things I think that's exciting with the ag program here, they're asking the question, they know that drone license is more important than just for ag. So we're trying to provide it to any high school student. And we're finding that there are high schools that have some high school teachers who one day, I hope, are some of our adjuncts delivering these courses, so we can put this licensure in as many hands as possible. It's just one more industry skill that someone can put on their resume that when they leave their high school, potentially an industry will be looking for specifically.
And the thing I think is interesting about that class is, you learn about topographical maps, you learn about all kinds of wind trajectory. There's really kind of this science and heavy, I would say math to some degree, but I just mean that those skills are transferable in industry.
And reading is critical, and so I'm glad you said that. So the test itself, so what this class is really designed to do is there's the written component that helps you. You have to be able to, like a pilot, any airplane pilot has to know, they have to know how to read an aeronautical map. So right. There are maps that have symbols and ticker symbols that talk about wind direction, and those are all part of this training module that Matt Scott's delivering. And anyone can pass this exam if you have the proper training. And again, what that does, though, is it allows you to fly any drone that's 55 pounds or less. And so we want high school students, and of course there is one caveat, you got to be 16 years of age. So this class has, I think they have a handful of students enrolled in our first section, and we expect that opportunity to grow as we explore it.
Yeah, you know, and as you're thinking about industries, anything that is a visual job, drones have a good chance of being a part of in the future, that kind of adaptive technology. We were talking to a lumber company, and one of the things they have to do is go out and survey, the national forest, what they're going to bid on. And so if you think about trying to survey forests in the middle of Wyoming in the middle of winter, that's a pretty perilous task sometimes, depending on snowfall and those things. But being able to fly a drone, determine how many board linear foot there would be, it is another disruptor. It's a great thing to do. As a college, we're bringing that to high school students. We will also have a second 8 weeks class coming up here for anyone in the community. We'd love to have you take this class and begin kind of that walk of learning about drones, new technology. Maybe you have an idea for a business you want to start.
You mentioned business, John.
Yep.
So what if a business has one of their employees, they think, wow, I'd be interested in having one of our employees to have access to licensure?
Yep. So here, I'm just going to give you my direct cell because we want to ensure that we get you connected in the right place. So 307-575-9150. 307-575-9150. Of course, you can connect with Donna White at Workforce at Eastern Wyoming College. But we would love to talk with you about, getting your employees in there trained and looking at new opportunities.
I think that's the key, is we can put classes together. We might even have some funding to help support the training of those individuals, especially if it's for workforce. And so if you're an employer, if you're just someone who says, you know what, I would love just to get that drone license because, for whatever reason, call John Hansen again. He'd be happy to receive that. Well, let's talk now, if we could transition to Dr. Howard and some of the work we're doing with the tourism grant and Sunrise Mines. And could you provide an opportunity, an update on some of the things he is working on and some opportunities that will be available for our community?
Yeah, so big things that are going on out at the Sunrise Mine and thinking about archaeology and anthropology. Dr. Howard has got a new few display cases in at the, and we created a lab at Eastern Wyoming College. And so one of the things that high school students and really anyone in the community would be open to is on Fridays, you can have an open lab and begin some of that archaeology, fossil preservation, working on processing artifacts. And so if you're interested in that, again, you can call me at 307-575-9150. The thing I love about this is we're constantly looking as a community, what are things that folks can do on a Friday? Our students sometimes have the afternoon and the off out of school. And so it's just another way that the college is helping support that. On the larger things that Dr. Howard is working on is this international symposium, bringing together experts from around the world to think about this early prehistoric humans that certainly called the Platte River Basin or Valley home. And again, the artifacts that they're finding out at Sunrise Mine are some of the earliest in the Americas. It's rated by the Smithsonian as the oldest mine that was there by prehistoric humans in all of North America. So there's going to be a chance for your people to enroll in a field school out there. Whereas kind of a field series is what we were terming it. And so to be able to get credits, learn about archaeology, anthropology, it's a phenomenal opportunity.
Well, that is outstanding. Well, John, I want to thank you for coming in the studio today, and we're going to end the program just by wishing you all a great week.
Yes.
And we look forward to seeing you next Monday in another week of Lancer Live. Thank you.
Thank you.